This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Welcome to Matinaire on Air. Jane Matinaire, Greg Bach, Jess Plotkin-Sell on the board for Calvin, who's taking the week off. Coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park here in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text, same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up at 11:33, we're going to talk about bad Thanksgiving guests. And then we will wrap up the show with This Shouldn't Be a Thing, Trashy Thanksgiving Edition. Stick around for that. But if you have stories about less than ideal Thanksgiving guests, we would love to hear those stories right after the 11:30 news. Very excited to be joined by our next guest. I've heard him many times on Pat Quitelow, and I've been trying to poach you for a long time. Hans Breitenmoser is a dairy farmer in Lincoln County on the line with us. Good morning, Hans. How are you?
I'm well. Good morning.
Thank you so much for joining us. I mean it. I think you bring such valuable perspective when you talk to Pat on Up North News Radio. And that's one of the reasons why we really wanted to get you on, because I think you can give a perspective that we don't often hear or hear often enough. You are in the dairy industry, right, Hans? And you've been doing this for years.
That is correct. So we've got a 460-cow dairy up in Lincoln County, Wisconsin. My folks moved here in 1968 as immigrants from Switzerland, and I was born in 1969 and have been milking cows ever since.
So we do have a question, and I think this is a valid question, and I wasn't sure about this, so we're going to ask you because you know. We talked about automating the dairy industry. Now, there are machines that milk cows, but you still need people to hook the cows up to these machines, correct?
Well, yes and no. There's been technology around for about 25 years now, and it's quite evolved and matured. Robotics so there are robots that milk cows, and there are a greater and greater number of cows being milked by robots. It does not take the human component away, of course, because cows need all sorts of care. But it does automate things. And certainly, you know, I was listening in earlier and to your points about, you know, automation and technology and so forth. And like every other discipline, you know, technology keeps moving the needle and making us more efficient so that, you know, more work can be done by fewer people. So that's certainly a thing. But also to your earlier conversation, we're way far away from being able to get rid of all the people that are involved. It still takes a lot of hardworking people to make sure that Greg's got a big old piece of cheese in front of him when he wants it.
Hans, you're my new best friend. Do you need help? I'll come help you on the farm, buddy.
But
okay, fine.
I'll be happy if you just continue to be a consumer of mine. Okay.
There you go.
Absolutely. I think that's a really salient point. Yes. We do continue to see advances in technology that helps to automate more of this. But as you said yourself, Hans, you still need bodies. You still have to have people there to handle a lot of these things. We just aren't there yet, where everything is done with a gang of five.
Yeah. Well, I think, again, looking at the bigger picture, you know, I mean, my wheelhouse is in the dairy industry, obviously. But I mean, if we look at unemployment rates in our country and all over the world over the course of time, they go up, they go down. And with all new technology, you know, we worry about, oh, my gosh, this is going to, you know, take away a certain amount of jobs. And there's truth to that. But, you know, here we are in 2024 and we've got an economy that doesn't have enough people. And so, you know, how contemporary that is or not, the reality is we don't produce enough people in this country to create a next generation that's going to milk our cows or take care of our elderly or build our cars or, you know, do all the different things, right? So it's really just simple math that says if we're not creating enough people, then we need immigrants. And the beauty of the United States of America is historically that people have been clamoring to get in this country and make a better lives for themselves. So we get the best and the brightest from all over the world. And so when we talk about public policy, regardless if that has to do with the dairy industry or any other industry, we should continue to embrace that. I mean, that's what's made this country so strong. That's what's the idea of America is what brought my parents here. They had an opportunity here that they didn't have in their old country. That is alive and well all over the world. And for some reason, we've got public policy that wants to take a huge dump on that. It makes no sense to me at all.
If you're just joining us, Hans Breitenmoser is our guest. He's a dairy farmer in Lincoln County. We were talking before you joined us, Hans, about, again, mass deportations now, and there's concern among Texas industries that this is really going to hamstring them. One of the arguments I've seen about hiring illegal immigrants to work in these industries is that they undercut wages for American workers. But I would assume that a lot of these industries have tried to find American workers, and they can't. Is that solely related to what it pays?
No, it's not. I mean, you know, we started hiring foreign-born folks to help us on our farm about 20-ish, 25 years ago now already. And we were like so many other dairies, which is, you know, we grew our business. We got to the point where, you know, me and my dad or me and my mom couldn't milk all the cows, and we wanted to expand and do different things. And so we started hiring people, and I dragged my feet a long time before hiring any foreign-born workers because I thought, man, you know, it's going to be a drag. I won't be able to communicate with them and so forth. But I looked around in my world and saw that others were hiring folks from, you know, south of the border, different countries, whether it be Mexico or Honduras and, you know, El Salvador, what have you. And they were, you know, they found ways around the communication barrier. So we started hiring foreign-born people as well. And we've never looked back. But to your, you know, responding directly to your question, it's not about the pay. It's just a matter of, you know, who's available. And if you've, and that's why I can't understand this whole deportation nonsense, because, I mean, if you've got an economy that's already short-staffed, and now you want to hire a bunch of people who don't exist to work for the government to implement a plan to deport anywhere from 5 to 11 million people, depending on, you know, how ticked off Trump is that morning. How does this math work? Somebody explain to me how that works, and find me an economist out there who says, yeah, that's a brilliant idea. That's going to be a real shot in the arm to, you know, everything out there. It doesn't make any sense.
Well, we've already been told by quite a few economists who've won Nobel Prize awards that tariffs and mass deportation, these economic plans, quote unquote, aren't going to help. But we're seeing it right now, where, as we were talking about earlier, is the fact that he said he was going to do these things. He is doing these things. And now people have the nerve to say, I can't believe he's doing these things. So yeah. We can't. I mean, that's the thing that really is probably the most frustrating for me. I can't speak for anyone else, is when you have this information in front of you, and you've got a portion of the electorate who refuses to look at facts, who refuses to accept them as anything other than traitorous words from haters of America, that, like, these farmers that Republicans and Democrats claim to care about so much, they're doing these measures, these two measures right here, tariffs and mass deportations, that are going to affect you so hard that people are going to go, well, I didn't know he was going to do that. No one told me that. And that's, I mean, and I can only imagine what your level of absolute frustration is, Hans.
Well, I am very frustrated because, you know, I've heard people in my industry, you know, fellow dairy producers say things like, oh, well, he's not really going to do that, and go ahead and vote for him for inexplicable other reasons, like, you know, and yeah, you guys wanted to talk about tariffs, so we can go down that road too. But
sure.
But nothing, this, you know, nothing Trump has done in the past administration was any good for ag, and I don't foresee that changing in this upcoming administration. And the cynicism, that the level of cynicism that you have to vote for somebody, when you know, I mean, dairy farmers are like other people, right? We're capable of voting against our own self-interest. I mean, that's not unique to dairy farmers. But the cynicism that it takes to vote for somebody saying, oh, well, you know, what he's saying about deportations, he's not actually going to do that, is really troublesome, because it also, just the rhetoric itself has the impact of having kids bullied at school, having people otherized, having people get pulled over, you know, because their skin is darker colored, having local police forces have to deal with, you know, this whole deportation system. You know, there's so many reasons why that's just not great public policy to vote for somebody who's got that kind of a rhetoric. But I think there is reason to believe that there are going to be folks that get deported. I'm really concerned about that.
Well, and going back to something that you said, Hans, that's part of the disconnect that I still have a problem with. On the one hand, I have heard Trump supporters say they love him because he says what he means.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the other hand, they come back and say, well, he didn't mean that, though.
Yes.
You know, it's like, how do you square that?
Yeah, I don't know. I've been struggling with that myself, and it is a real head scratcher. But in the meantime, it has real implications for real people. And part of the reason why when you asked me to be on, and when I and you know, that I've taken every advantage of anyone who wants to discuss the issue, to take an advantage to take that opportunity, is because, you know, I've worked with people from Mexico and from other countries south of the border. And it really, really bothers me when politicians, whether they be Tom Tiffany or Donald Trump or whoever, demonize a group of people and otherize them and make it sound like they're, they're responsible for all crime in this country, when in fact the opposite is true. I can't think of a more graceful bunch of people that, you know, show up for work, do hard work, and just are trying to earn a living and get by, and are so important to our economy. And to have those people demonized is just morally corrupt, in my estimation. And that's why I'll take every chance I can to stand here and talk about it.
Well, we always believe on this show, and I think across the network, that knowledge is power. And the more you know, the better off you are, even though that might make us elitist and condescending, as someone called me once. Hans Breitenmoser.
I was called a clown, a buffoon clown.
Hans Breitenmoser is our guest, and we're going to continue this conversation. We'll talk tariffs next. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Jess P.S. on the board. In for Calvin, taking a well-deserved vacation. We're coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, where you can join us, you can call, you can text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Start thinking now of your favorite stories of bad Thanksgiving guests. We'll take your calls after 11:30, after the 11:30 news. We'll wrap up the show as we do every day with This Shouldn't Be a Thing, Trashy Thanksgiving Edition. Right now, though, we're joined by Hans Breitenmoser. You have probably hear him once a month if you listen to Pat Kreitlow on Up North News Radio. Hans is a dairy farmer in Lincoln County, and we're talking about mass deportations and also tariffs, Hans. And we do have a couple of clips, Hans, that at least one we wanted to play for you. Just let's play that first clip from Donald Trump talking about tariffs are a beautiful thing.
Your critics will say, well, your tariffs are going to, that you say are going to crush our country and create inflation. What do you say to people that criticize your economic approach to how you bring prosperity back to the country?
Yeah, well, stupid people say that, Pete. The most beautiful word in the dictionary is tariff.
The most beautiful word in the dictionary, Hans, is tariff. As a dairy farmer in Wisconsin, I'm wondering how you react to that.
Yeah, well, I'm surprised he didn't, you know, claim that he invented the word tariff and that he's the only one that knows how to spell it. He says it better than anyone else.
I say it better than anyone else, Hans, Mr. Dairy Farmer.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, again, there's, I think his supporters at some level like the vibe and the saber rattling, right? Because it sounds so tough, you know. I'm gonna be tough against, you know, all these perceived adversaries. And I think my estimation is that trade amongst countries has to be trade, kind of like what we do in my neck of the woods, right? I mean, if I do some custom work for a neighbor, or we deal with some commodities or cattle or what have you, the relationship, the business relationship that two neighbors have, I think is a good model for countries. And I know that sort of sounds naive, but ultimately, if you've got a trade relationship that is very one-sided and that only works for one side, it's not going to last real long.
Sure.
You know, so I think trade needs to be mutually beneficial. And there's no reason why it can't be. But I think what Trump gets wrong is, you know, who's harmed most by these types of tariffs. And so if I'm just being very, you know, sort of selfish about it and looking at it from that, you know, from the ag standpoint, it's of course ag that's going to suffer, because ag is our biggest export, right? So if there are retaliatory type actions taken by the Chinas and the Canadas and the Mexicos of the world, it's ag that's going to hurt. And the other side of that coin too is that, guess what? I buy a lot of stuff, right?
Yeah.
A lot of the iron, a lot of the technology, a lot of the things that we buy comes from overseas, right? Wrong or otherwise. So that is going to have a negative impact on my bottom line from both ends. I mean, I like to share that, you know, farming is one of the only enterprises where we sell wholesale and buy retail, you know, so we're already kind of in a stupid position, but this does not help. Like, yeah. I just don't see how this is a good strategy for rural communities. And that's what we should be thinking about here in terms of, you know, dollars that are made in, you know, by farmers, tend to bang around in rural communities.
Local, yeah.
And it's those dollars support our schools. They support our roads. And, you know, I was on the county board here in Lincoln County for 10 years, and I can tell you that small rural counties are already counting paperclips. So, you know, this is going to be, it just isn't good for rural economies when farmers get squeezed. It just doesn't make any sense.
Well, and Hans, I think you brought up a very interesting point when we first started talking about this, is I think the thing that I believe that Donald Trump supporters really enjoy is that he, as Jane said in the previous segment, is that he speaks his mind and he comes off from the hip and he's all, and he's tough. That was the word you used too. He's tough. Americans like to see themselves as tough, especially against whatever perceived enemy they are given that day. And his words and his bluster and his toughness makes up for the fact you don't have to have a lot of information from him then. He doesn't fill the void with statistics or facts. He fills it with blustering and calling
how you feel.
Calling people, I mean, what do you say about the people who say tariffs aren't good for the economy? Well, they're stupid. People eat that up. And I wonder, Hans, you know, we talk to you. We are radio people. We are people who live in the news cycle. But how many people in the regular world are talking to you about this and asking you, the dairy farmer in Lincoln County, Wisconsin, these questions? How do these things affect you and getting your opinion and taking it to heart?
Well, I don't know. I mean, if people are silly enough to ask my opinion, I'll certainly give it to them.
That's why we had you on.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, I don't know. I think it kind of goes back to the earlier conversation where all we can do is continue to tell the truth and try and tell the truth in a way that you know, people can understand it and appreciate it. And I think we are sort of in, all in this culture where we like things to be black and white. We like simple answers to complex problems. And that's where I think progressives struggle is because, you know, we sometimes we understand that a problem is quite complex and you can't snap your fingers and make it right. And people just want that because they don't want to have to deal with a lot of complexities because we all have lives to live and, yeah. and you know, so forth. So,
well, we are going to keep in touch with you. I won't completely try and poach you from Pat Kreidler. But we'd love to have you back, Hans. I just think your perspective is so valuable. And there's lots of other things that we could cover. We'll talk about CAFOs next time and many, many other things if you are amenable to that.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you.
Oh, you bet. Thank you so much, Hans. And happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, you guys have a happy Thanksgiving as well.
Thank you, sir.
Take care. News is coming up next, and then we're going to take your calls about bad Thanksgiving guests. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air, coming to you across the vast, statewide, countrywide, potentially global, Civic Media Radio Network.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, Jess P.S. coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call, you can text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. After the new news, Todd Alba takes over from noon to 2 p.m. today. He's going to be joined by his regular Wednesday guests, Up North News Radio's Pat Kreitlow and senior advisor at the Lincoln Project, Trigby Olson. All the news and analysis you need before the long holiday weekend. That's today with Todd Alba from noon to 2 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network. Very excited to be joined by our next guest. He is the co-founder and a writer for Milwaukee Record. Tyler Moss is here. Good morning, Tyler. Happy Thanksgiving.
What's up? Hello.
Well, before you joined us, we were having a very, very hot discussion about tater tot casserole wars that my sister and I are having. We have a difference of opinion on what vegetable belongs in a tater tot casserole. She is pro corn. I am pro green bean.
Yeah.
Where do you come down in this very important discussion?
I kind of think that it's really just up to the person who is the one who's making it, I guess.
Diplomat.
Other people. But I feel like it's this loose thing. It's I think it's like invented essentially to just be like, what's around the house? What do we have? Okay, we have a lot of corn. I guess we're going to throw it in this time. We have some like, you know, broccoli that's about to go. We have some cream of blank soup.
Yeah.
We're just going to throw that in there.
No. So. I did see one shocking suggestion coming in on the text line from our very own Chris Casper. One of our fabulous engineers.
I'm for this.
He suggested sauerkraut. I think that's a crime against food.
That would work, I think. I mean, if you have like the dumplings or whatever, I mean, that could be hot sauerkraut.
A base. The totems.
Also not to, like, I don't want to be that guy that, like, is a hot dog a sandwich, but I've also heard that, like, you know, lasagna is very technically a casserole too.
Oh, and that's another debate that I'm seeing on the text line. It's like, it's not tater tot casserole. It's tater tot hot dish.
Mm-hmm. And also, yeah, the word hot dish. I think once you reach the Minnesota border,
yeah,
it's hot dish.
Hot dish.
Right. But in Wisconsin, it's a casserole, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
I kind of liken it to how certain people say the word, like they say either pop or they say, like, hey, want a soda? Like, you want a pop? That kind of thing. If you live north of Nina and you were born in the 1980s, then you might say pop until enough other people make fun of you in Milwaukee and you switch, like I did, to soda.
I mean, I can handle green bean and corns, and I will definitely handle some sauerkraut. But if you call it pop, you're just whatever. I think, though, Tyler just had a brainstorm of an idea right there. You take the bottom layer of tots, the mm-hmm. totem. Mm-hmm.
The totem.
You put the stuffings in there.
Yeah.
A layer of sauerkraut.
Okay.
With that. And then the top of it is dumpling.
It's very starchy.
It's very, it's the starchiest.
But the whole gift of a tater tot casserole is there's very little effort to expend. If I got to make, then I got to make dumplings. Do they make, are there pre-made dumplings? I don't, come on.
I think it's a miracle food because it's really easy to make. It's extremely inexpensive to make. I mean, unless you want to really gild the lily and make it like, you know, really nuanced or whatever, like rotisserie chicken and like, you know, a bone marrow broth or whatever.
Right.
But really it's just like, here's what we have around. I can whip this up and we can heat it up on Wednesday when it gets dark at 3:45, you know.
but I heard a chef yesterday talking about how she makes hers and she uses green beans or a green vegetable. But then she was talking about how she makes her own cream of mushroom soup base. And I'm like, oh, stop it.
I do that for green bean casserole.
Well, okay, you're going to lose Jane at any sort of cooking that requires steps beyond the steps.
Is it if it's got more than 9 ingredients and it involves blanching?
If the ingredients are in the frozen, like the frozen vegetable bag, you know, technically there could be 6 in the medley. So that's
okay. That I can deal with. But not that, you know, and now you blanch it and now you sing to it. And no, I'm not doing any of those things.
Chris Casper just lost me because now he's proposing a whole new version of it, which is basically like a corned beef sandwich with Thousand Island dressing, corned beef, sauerkraut. Okay, buddy.
What you're describing right there, that's just a sandwich with fries.
Yeah, you get your fries like packed around your sandwich.
I mean,
yeah,
that's like the
Fanny Brothers or whatever.
Now he's backing away from the argument. Nice try, Chris.
Well, as always, Tyler, when you need food rules and or opinions, you always go to Tyler Moss. What else
I've learned that there are no rules, really. I mean, it's like Outback Steakhouse, no rules. That's right.
Well, what else is going on, Tyler? What's happening in the world of Milwaukee?
Well, I guess we're discussing this because we are doing an event, actually, the second annual Casserole Call.
I love this so much.
On my webcam, I didn't wipe off enough. I'm sorry. And that is happening on December 8th at Falcon Bowl, which is in River West. It's a historic alley that also has a hall that was very underutilized until like a month ago. And so this is sort of the, this thing's back. This very historic venue. Mm-hmm. It's used for ballroom dancing and for hot dish related competitions.
Oh, that's fantastic. It is. That's great. So what is this event all involved, Tyler?
I enlisted a bunch of local restaurants from all over the spectrum. A lot of them, they either already offer this or they're going just way off the map and they're doing we have a few like pizza places and we have an Italian specialty grocer. We have the National. We have Good Kind. We have a chef who she was the owner of the restaurant Lazy Susan, and she's working her way out of retirement to do this. And I just asked a bunch of different people, and they're going to make their own riff on it. There's a brewery, actually, Black Husky as well. And so just a bunch of different places, they're doing their own rendition of it. And then you buy samples, and then we give the money to a local food pantry.
That's so cool. It really is. That's great. So how many different, and can they, I mean, is there, a specific ingredient list, or can they can do anything? It's just any kind of hot dish that they want.
It's almost annoyingly loose because they've all asked me, are you sure? Like, what are the rules? What are the parameters? I'm just like, as long as they make enough for between 50 and 300 people.
We're good.
Like, if you're okay having leftovers, just, yeah, like, you should make it your own. And it could be a representation of what they do every day, or it could just be like, you might like our blank. Like, you might say, like, you might enjoy the rotisserie chicken or the bucatini, but we're doing this, and it's the most Minnesota version of a hot dish or whatever of all time.
I love it.
Well, we had Matt Wild on last year about this time when you were doing it for the first time, and I remember something about us being willing to be celebrity judges on this. Do you need judges?
If you want to come by, I'll get you a few sample tickets. You can let me know what you think. But yeah, then I forgot about this aspect. Everyone who's in attendance, they get to vote.
Yeah.
And then we pick a winner. And
is it just bragging rights?
It's a plaque that I have not ordered yet, but I will get around to it. I'll order the one from last year and the one this year at the same time.
Well,
and
no, then, what you do is you get them a plaque from last year and you just take the plaque away and give it to the next person. It's like a Miss America yeah. crown.
You get to touch it briefly.
Yeah.
But then they also get some advertising because all of them, like they're very, I feel like it's a very difficult season because like we're all very busy mm-hmm. and it's about to be the worst, like, you know, period for restaurants in yeah. terms of no one's really going in. Staffing's hard, but they're all like volunteering their staff, their food costs, their Sunday afternoon. And so everyone who's involved, they get some free ads with us as well. And and yeah, just as a like minor token.
Well, just to reiterate, this is happening December 8th.
Yep, at the Falcon Bowl, the hall that's attached onto it. So, and we have some info on our site, or if you go to, I believe, falconbowlmke.com, they'll have the link there as well.
We'll get all the links in our show notes. Mm-hmm. And you can find the show notes at civicmedia.us. Just click on shows and then go to Matt and Aaron there. And Greg does a really great job of including all the links for each episode. They're broken down into 2-hour episodes, little 2-hour podcasts.
1 hour.
1 hour podcast.
One hour, yeah.
Yeah. Tyler Moss is here from Milwaukee Record talking about their great casserole contest coming up on December 8th. What else is going on at the record?
We are about to be doing a bracket, the best thing in Milwaukee bracket. We're unveiling that on Monday. We did it last year. The first one had a write-in for all the categories, the first round. So that was very nuts. But then we narrow it down to whoever wins the write-in, they're in the tournament. And we narrow it down to the best thing. And the lead singer of a local hardcore band that I can't say on air, their name, was the winner last year, Tab Man of a...
Of a band that shall remain nameless?
Yes, unless you want to get fined.
Yeah, I know that band name. Yep.
Yeah, so it could be anything. That was our write-in. Like beating out like local radio stations, local breweries, everything. So, yeah, your voice can be heard.
So there's no specifications. It could be any great thing in Milwaukee that you think is great.
We have 16 different things, and we picked the first three in the four thing, like, you know, region or whatever. And then the readers get to fill in the fourth one. And if enough of them win, then it moves on. It's a mess, but it's fun. And then we just have our best of week that's happening in the middle of the month where we talk about some of our favorite albums, favorite music videos, favorite boat related happenings. Like, you know how the boat got stranded on that beach? And
Yes.
Some restaurant things. Just a recap of, like, the year that was. And that's about it. I mean, we have a bunch of events. Our halftime series. We're showing Dumb and Dumber at the Avalon on December 18th. And we announced a non-alcoholic beverage festival, which I believe I was on here for. Last year, the year before.
Yeah.
And that will be returned to the Cooperage on January 4th. And we're also doing a Madison one on the 18th at the Burr Oak.
That's really great, Tyler. Mm-hmm. That's a big growing segment of the population are people who want to have mocktails and who want to enjoy non-alcoholic drinks and not feel like they're being ostracized. I think that's fabulous. Mm-hmm.
And also non-alcoholic beverages taste good now. Because when I was a kid, my dad would slip me a Sharps. I'm like, why do you drink this?
Why are you punishing yourself?
Yeah, this is disgusting. this is the third year of the Non-Alcoholic Festival?
The fourth year. For the Milwaukee one, and then it will be the second one for the Madison.
That's fantastic. I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
Well, make sure you check out Milwaukee Record. Make sure you go to their casserole contest on December 8th. I think we need to do a road trip.
Think so, too. Yep.
The casserole call.
And those notes are already up. That link, that the announcement's already in the show notes, so you can find out more about that and enjoy it. Gosh, now I want Chris Casper's Reuben casserole that he's talking about.
All right, Casper, pressure's on, buddy. Pressure is on.
If he shows up with enough, he's in.
Show up on December 8th, Casper. That works, too. Tyler Moss is the co-founder.
It's not for everyone, just for him.
Tyler Moss is the co-founder and writer for Milwaukee Record. Thank you so very much, Tyler. Have a very happy Thanksgiving.
Yes, thank you.
Appreciate it. Coming up next, we'll wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing, Turkey versus Unexpected Visitor Edition. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Jess P.S. In for Calvin, coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. And don't forget, if you haven't done it yet, download the Civic Media app wherever you get your apps. It is completely free. You can call and text directly to whatever show you're listening to all across the Civic Media Radio Network. It's a really pretty slick thing.
Yeah.
And like I said, it is absolutely free. We might have a contest coming up soon where you could win wonderful and fabulous prizes that could but probably won't change the course of your entire life. That could start next week.
All right.
Just saying. You want to download it now so you're ready.
Well, what did we always also say about the app, too? We also just had the app will never change your life in any significant way, but it won't make it worse.
Yes. The Civic Media app, yep, it's not going to help, but it won't make it worse. High praise.
It might help.
It could. Well, it shouldn't make it worse. Shouldn't make it worse. All right. It is 11:53. That means it is time for...
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
If you ever have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at Jane Says, JaneSays, Jane Says at civicmedia.us. If you ever have a guest you would like us to invite on the show, if you ever have a topic going on in your community, maybe there's some nonprofit that you would like to send a little love to, you can use that same email too at Jane Says, JaneSays. All right, here we go. The Turkey versus Unexpected Visitor Edition. This was the second year I was married to my husband and the first year spending Thanksgiving dinner with his whole family. Everybody split up cooking to make it easier for everyone. I volunteered to cook the turkey and make macaroni salad. I love cooking turkey. I always go the extra mile to ensure it is the best turkey ever. I cook it slow. I baste it every 2 hours. I stayed up almost all night cooking the turkey. I made the macaroni salad a few minutes before having to leave. Now, my husband and I had to take separate cars to the family gathering place. Mm. So he had already left. I got everything covered and ready to leave. I took the turkey out first, which was very heavy.
Yeah.
And I set it first in the trunk, and then I opened the back door to the car, and I set the turkey in the back seat.
Okay.
All right. I run back inside the house just to get the macaroni salad and my purse. Took about 2 minutes. As I turn around and head out the door, the first thing I see is my neighbor's Rottweiler with his head in my car. I've always liked this dog. It's a very nice dog. But he just would not let go of that turkey. The Rottweiler ate an entire side of the turkey before I could get it away from him. I was in tears. I was so embarrassed to show up for my first Thanksgiving dinner without the turkey. And no one else cooked one. But at least someone brought a great ham.
Okay. I understand.
I can see this happening.
I can see it happening. But really, one important thing would have prevented this entire story.
Shutting the door.
Shutting the door. Which is something I would have done. Because you never know.
But it's like, I'm just going to run in and run out and zip, zip and bing, bing. And, it's going to take 30 seconds.
Do you know how many friends have come in, come out, zip, zip, bing, bing, and their car is stolen? No. Door closed. Door locked. Close the garage door if I have to. No.
Tony on the live stream says, that seems like a compliment from the dog. So, yes, I think she made a fantastic turkey. It just did not turn out quite the way she had hoped.
No, and it's a story. And if there's a ham, and if your family is half with it, they're going to be like, oh, that sucks.
And I'm sure everybody felt really badly for her. Again, the first big family dinner, and she's tasked with the turkey that she basted so lovingly, only to have it have a little encounter with a Rottweiler.
But you know what really sucks, though? I mean, like, if you let it go and you say, all right, it happened. I've learned my lesson. We'll move on to next year. You're going to have an uncle or a dad-in-law who is for the rest of your life.
Absolutely.
Is going to be like, make sure the dog doesn't get it.
That will be the family story that carries on for generation to generation to generation.
That is a exercise in patience.
And that is today's episode of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
We've got news coming up next, followed by Todd Alba from noon to 2, Maggie Dawn 2 to 4, Dominic Salvia 4 to 6, and then Pete Schwabba 6 to 8 p.m. Matt Rothschild will be in for us on Friday and on Monday. We've got a special show lined up for you tomorrow, so if you need some company while you're in the kitchen, a specially curated best of show for you coming your way tomorrow. Thank you so very much, and I am so grateful for you, Greg and Jess, and all of our engineers and everyone at Civic Media. And thank you for calling and for texting and for listening. It means the world.
Thank you, Jane, for being you and being awesome.
I hope you find some joy over the weekend. Be careful on the roadways. Please be kind. And we'll see you on Monday. Keep it right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Thanks, you guys. Happy Thanksgiving.
The national news cycle never stops.
but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.